MMH, the home of rock radio.
Listen to The Dark Side with me, Andy Shaw, for your death, black and doom metal every Thursday from 10 until midnight. Only on MMH, the home of rock radio.
And I have the absolute pleasure to introduce Sean Bilavecchi and Gwen Strang. Is that fair to describe your sound as heavy witch doom? I've sort of read that in a couple of places.
No, yeah, we wrote that ourselves, so that's what people use. So we're pretty happy
with that.
Yeah, description.
I mean, you must be happy with it.
We put a lot of work into, you know, the audio. You know, we record everything ourselves, and you know, obviously write all the music ourselves too. So we spent a lot of time putting out music, and it's awesome to hear that it's appreciated.
What inspires you? What are your sort of musical inspirations?
Well, I think Sean and I are both huge fans of Chelsea Wolfe and Emma Ruth Rundle and people like that. But I think Sean and I kind of come to music from different camps, as it were. Sean really likes the heavy stuff. He likes Crowbar. He likes things like that. I like that. But I also like things like Portishead, Blonde Redhead, things that are a little bit more atmospheric. So I think the way that our music has come together is a very honest and genuine way. It's just kind of the melding of two genres into one, I guess.
Yeah, we like Gwen mentioned, we have some common ground of artists we like, and then our backgrounds are totally different.
Portishead's an interesting in choice. The atmosphere that they kind of created, that's interesting to hear that you're inspired by what they do.
Yeah, I'm really inspired by the vocals. I think they're very vulnerable and they're touching, you know, like it makes you feel things. It just seems, again, very honest and very like she's putting her real self out there, and it was always a go-to for me when I was feeling a little down. I'd put it on and drive in the rain and cry.
Yeah, and musically I think they do a really good job of, you know, there's a lot of samples and things happening on those records, but it never, to me, it never sounds like it's built on a grid. It always sounds like it's still a band. I think it really helps when they do like their, you know, that live record they did. It just gives you a sense of that they're a band and not just samples placed onto a 4/4 grid or something like that, which I really appreciate, you know, from building a song, you know, from that perspective.
How do you build your sound, your music? Do you sort of start with the lyrics first, or do you build the sort of atmosphere with riffs and things?
I wish we started with the lyrics first. That would make my job so much easier. I think we've always kind of done it the same way, where Sean's very prolific and he writes a lot of riffs, and he'll kind of lay down a basic kind of outline of how the song is, and then I'll write a melody and we'll kind of put something together very roughly, and then I'll write lyrics for that. I have a library of hundreds and hundreds of lyric notes, so when it comes time to write lyrics for something, I'll pull some from that and I'll pull some from, you know, whatever I'm feeling at the moment, and it just kind of comes together. We do everything separately as well. So Sean will do his part separately and I'll do my part separately. Yeah. We do that for to make sure that we stay a happy couple. Because there is a lot of arguing back and forth if we try to do that kind of thing together.
Yeah, so we'll both kind of critique each other, you know, towards the end, but we have to do it very gently. So like Gwen said, for the most part, we do the majority of our parts kind of separate, and you know, I'll play things for Gwen so she kind of knows what's going on there, and then she'll go up and lay down her basic melodies, and you know, if there's something that she doesn't like out of one of my riffs, she'll just make fun of me and tell me that song sucks, or you know, vice versa. On the if she does a vocal melody and I know that, you know, she can do better, I'll say that, and then I have to run away and hide so I don't get hit with dishes or something like that.
So are the lyrics quite personal? Are they sort of through personal experience, or do you sort of grab them from kind of anywhere?
My lyrics they're deeply personal. And I think that, you know, I think no matter what, if you're writing something, it's always personal. Even if it's, you know, you say that you know, I read this book and it inspired me to write this these lyrics. I think it's still personal because it's your take on that book, and your take on that book is inspired by your personal experience, and you're, you know, you're kind of putting that on what the writer has written. But I, you know, all my stuff is just from personal experience and loss and betrayal, and all of that comes through. And that's, you know, it's me at my most vulnerable, which is why it was, you know, I'm very shy with this stuff, but, and it was very difficult for me to start, you know, performing live, because it's me, you know, saying, here's me at my weakest, at my, you know, and please accept me. And, but I think I've gotten a little beyond that, but the first several performances that we did were very difficult for me.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes some of her lyrics, like, I find out just as much about her through her, the songs that have been in Braille, as I do from us, you know, talking every day, because she is, you know, she does keep a lot of the personal stuff, like, you know, kind of closer, and, you know, she has armor up sometimes. So some of the more personal stuff, I'm actually shocked how much comes out in the songs sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes it is easier to kind of express it in a creative way, isn't it, than a just to tell me, sit down and tell me about yourself kind of way.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, because we were actually talking about this the other day, how when Sean and I first met, he told me, you could never write a love song because you don't feel as deeply as other people or whatever. I'm like, bitch, please, you have no idea.
Yeah, boy did she prove me wrong, yeah, on that one.
So I wrote him this song, or this, you know, a love song, and it was just kind of shut him up. So
I think, were you going to use part of that on this upcoming record?
Maybe.
Yeah.
So you've had a few EPs out, and then you've got this album, which is out, and obviously we've had this period in between. Were those sort of a body of songs that have come out in little bits, or have the songs been around a while?
I think Dead Inside and Godless, we put out a 7-inch because we had those, you know, we did the first EP, and then we had, you know, lots and lots of other bits and parts of songs that ended up slowly becoming what we released into 1692. But it seems like Godless and Dead Inside.
1692 is one of the first ones.
Too. Right, but we released a 7-inch early because we had those done. And so I think that 7-inch came out, and we still were finishing up some of the other stuff on the record. So it was like, I think it was almost like two chunks of stuff maybe for the record, because some stuff came pretty quick, and then some stuff we were kind of, you know, sometimes you get stuck in a rut, and we were banging our heads against the wall trying to finish some songs. And so for 1692, I think like maybe just two big phases of stuff.
Have you been working on stuff during lockdown?
Yeah, we're actually releasing a single tomorrow. A cover of Ring of Fire from Johnny Cash. And that took us like to get that one right.
Forever.
Yeah, it was a tough one to cover because that song is so, it's major scale, and it also has these mariachi trumpets going. And so how do you dissect all that and make it something that feels like it's ours? And then how does Gwen find her voice? You know, with the lyrics are great. Like the words are amazing from that song, but the melodies are so foreign to something I think that we normally do. So it really took us a while to figure out how we're going to, you know, make that ours. So that song took like a month and a half of like working every day at it to, to get it figured out, but we're pretty happy with it. So it's going to come up for tomorrow because the Bandcamp is having one of those, you know, pass through the sales of the artist days. So we're releasing that, and we worked with our label in the US, Aqualam, to do something unique where it's like, you buy a t-shirt, you know, there's a new shirt coming out that, and then if you get the shirt, then you get the song as well. And we're not releasing it on the, you know, Spotify or iTunes for a few weeks because you know, we're starting to shift away from, like, when you're a new band, you're just like, let everybody hear it for free. It's great. And now we're getting to the point where, you know, Bandcamp and our support on Bandcamp is really important to us, especially because we can't tour right now. So we're kind of holding back on the idea of getting music for free, you know, initially. You know, we want to give people that are actually supporters kind of a chance to have it in, you know, themselves before it just gets released everywhere. And I think that might be something we continue in the future.
If it were up to me, it would go to everybody immediately, just because I just want to put it out there for everybody.
Yeah,
I understand.
Well, you know, it's your work, you deserve to get some credit and some, well, to make money from it, to be perfectly honest, because it is really, it is really, really amazing. I'll stop saying that. I'll stop sounding a bit.
No, it's okay. You can keep going. It's fine.
We'll record this and play it back later. Yeah.
So was it? Is it almost like a conscious decision to stay down the sort of doom path, or is it something that you, well, a bit like you said, a bit, I mean, if you're thinking about the sort of the Portishead sort of link, it kind of works for your sound, your music, your feeling.
Whatever we are, which
we're not really sure.
Yeah, it's Doom seems to do the best job explaining it, is always evolving, and we're trying to push it because I don't think either of us are very interested in just wearing like quote unquote an outfit and like, oh no, we're Doom kids or we're Stoner kids or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I think we're trying to push it. And sometimes we try to push it so much, especially on the new stuff that we're doing, that we're almost like, are Doom people going to hate this? You know, but you know, at the end of the day, we're not trying to, I guess, make anything to fit any specific genre. We're just trying to enjoy the process of making something ourselves and then enjoy what we make and feel like we did our best job of making something that feels right to us. You know, I don't, whether that's, you know, Doom or Stoner or hard rock, or, you know, both Gwen and I have guilty pleasures of nu metal. And so you know, rhythms and stuff from some bands that, you know, a lot of Doom kids would probably make fun of us for liking, but I think some of the guitar rhythms and, you know, the sort of rhythm aspect of that music and the, you know, not so much playing melodies, more rhythmic, you know, bashing on a guitar. I love that stuff. And to me, that's really appealing, and much more so than just trying to play the same Black Sabbath riff 150,000 times.
Yeah.
So we're always trying to figure out how to push it. And so we look at, like, you know, how does Portishead handle beats, or how does this band handle guitar rhythms, and what moves us and what, you know, excites us when we listen to bands that are new or 30 years old, you know, and trying to incorporate that, because to us, that's, I think, what the most fun is.
Oh, no, I think it definitely crosses over. That's why I was interested in the, because I think especially in this kind of area, whether it's black metal or death metal or whatever it is, there are so many genres that are in that pocket of music. But, you know, I think you definitely cross a number of boundaries, and it's it wouldn't be my version of sort of archetypal doom. It's really atmospheric and you know, almost borders on various genres, almost your melodic death metals and your melodic black metals and dooms and everything else. I think it works really, really well.
There's, like, you know, I'm always more attracted to energy than I am how much does this band fit a stereotype. And so if the integrity is there and the honesty is there and the energy and the aggression is there, it can be super slow or it could be super fast. It's just if those, you know, elements are there, then that's what I think is important to reach people, which is the ultimate goal, I think, of music, is to reach people.
And I just want it to be spooky.
Yeah, it's
got to
be spooky.
Oh no, it certainly ticks all those boxes. It's amazing, really. Sean and Gwen, I honestly can't thank you enough for your time, and thank you so much. And stay safe and keep being brilliant, because I'm really looking forward to the new material and more new material, because it is brilliant.
Listen to The Dark Side with me, Andy Shaw, for your death, black and doom metal every Thursday from 10 until midnight, only on MMH, the home of rock radio.
MMH, the home of rock radio.